Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Jessica G. She and the rest of her family are the subjects of this fantastic new book from National Geographic as I hold it up here to the cameras. It's called Bucket List Family Travel, Share the World with Your Kids on 50 Adventures of a Lifetime. Jessica, welcome to the show. And I think I got maybe two or three of these when I was a kid, and I feel so lucky. Do your kids, I mean, they're going to be international diplomats by the time they grow up, right?
Maybe.
I mean, I can just think about when I went to Europe when I was five, and I just growing up knowing I had been to, like, Paris and London. It's just, it's amazing to know that there's a big wide world out there. When did this all sort of kicked off for you and your husband?
Well, it started back in 2015. We had just finished college, my husband and I. We had two young kids at the time, and he had a company that he had sold, and we were just at a point where we didn't know what was next. It didn't feel right to settle down and buy a house, and so we decided to glean some things, some knowledge from the world, and do a little bit of traveling, see how we wanted to raise our kids, where we wanted to raise our kids. And so we sold everything, took off for about 4 months of travel, and 4 months turned into 3 years full-time traveling. And then here we are about 9 years later and almost to 100 countries. So it very much evolved, but it's been quite the journey.
Who's the one person in your family that told you were nuts to sell everything and live on a houseboat in Amsterdam or something, and then you can bring them this book and see, like, we were right?
I feel like we were pretty well supported. I mean, I will say, if anybody thought I couldn't do this, it would have been me. If you would have told me 10 years ago this is what I would be doing, I never would have believed you.
So let's talk about some of the things, because there are a lot of places people want to go who, like you and your husband, are adventurous, but you can't take little teeny kids there. So how do you sort of, like, suss that out about it? Will it be family friendly?
You know, we definitely do our fair share of research in the beginning to see where we want to go and what we want to do. And I mean, we've found family friendly things and everywhere we have been. At the end of the day, there's kids everywhere and parks everywhere. And so, you know, I think of some of our places that we visited, and like, we went to Vienna one time, and honestly, we didn't do a single museum because our kids were young. They weren't going to want to go to a museum. And we did just parks. We went to the Stadtparks, the central park there. We went there for 6 days in a row, and it was one of our greatest memories.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I remember being at, like, Trafalgar Square when I was five, and I don't know anything about Nelson's Column or the Lions, but I just remember, like, a pigeon landed on my head. Like, those are the kind of things little kids take with them, don't they?
Totally. And they'll remember the smallest details that I've completely forgotten.
So, Christmas time, there are a lot of places where it's great, and you know, I've done Christmas in New York, I've done Oktoberfest in Munich, but they always say, and I went to Berlin a long time ago in the summer, but how about Berlin during Christmas?
You know, that's actually, we're heading to Europe this holiday. We're going there in December. We're doing river Christmas market cruise down the Danube. So we're starting in Budapest, going to Vienna, and then ending in Germany. So we're super looking forward to this holiday season, which I'm sure will be very festive with all the European cute little Christmas markets.
So do you sort of feel like, not that it's a burden, but like maybe you guys have been home for 3 weeks, and do you get the itch, or maybe you think, we got to get some new content, let's go?
No, not really. I feel, honestly, we take off when our kids are out of school. Our kids go to school here in Hawaii, and then every time there's a school break, we've got something planned. So that's kind of been the deal. We live almost a double life, so when we're on holiday, we're off the island, and then when we're home, we enjoy normal, traditional, you know, soccer games and dance practices and all those things.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, Hawaii wouldn't be an ideal place if you went to Europe a lot, but I guess if you're world travelers, that is kind of a good little spot to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a trek. I mean, it's a minimum 5-hour flight anywhere we go.
So the other thing is, people hear this and they think, oh, it must be nice to be millionaires, but you guys do this on a budget, don't you?
Yeah, so when we first left, we decided we didn't want to touch any of the money from the acquisition. We sold everything, made about $45,000 selling cars and furniture and clothes and stuff. My husband and I were very frugal. We spend our money on our home here in Hawaii, but aside from that, we're always looking for good deals and traveling with family and friends and taking advantage of points and miles and doing all of that stuff as well.
On the one hand, by the way, we're speaking with Jessica G, the new National Geographic book, Bucket List Family Travel. On the one hand, you know, people say, well, you know, the internet is scary and you don't want to put your kids out there. And you put your kids out there to 3 million IG followers, YouTube, about half that number. Has everything been cool? Nothing too creepy? Because, you know, there are some weirdos out there.
We've been super grateful by the people we've met, the wonderful people that I believe we've had a great impact on their lives and teaching family and bravery. I believe you can put out good, bad, or nothing. And I feel like naturally I'm probably the type of person that would just put out nothing, but I genuinely believe it's important to have good out there. We need to have family content. We need to have people teaching about cultures and adventure and bravery and and if that's me, then I'm willing to do it to, just put out some light.
I just think about the, like, logistics of, you go, oh, let's go on a bike ride down the Seine on the side, and think, all right, well, this one needs training wheels, this one needs a seat in the back, this one could be in a tandem. I mean, you need helpers, don't you?
I mean, we figure it out. We figure it out as we go. It gets done, and sometimes it's a logistical nightmare, and we have to take two taxis now that we're getting bigger, but you make it work.
National Geographic, of course, is world famous for its outstanding photography, and this book is no slouch, just amazing pictures. Did you guys almost have to, like, teach yourself to be world-class photographers, or how did you get so many great pictures?
I mean, kudos to my husband. He's a designer. That's what he went to school for. So he's got a great eye. And then the photography and the videography came along the way. He taught himself, and he did a phenomenal job. I know he's very proud to be a National Geographic published photographer.
And I was thinking about, you know, like, it's one thing to go to Disneyland, which is great, but you go to Bali and you go to, like, the monkey forest, and those monkeys are not shy. They'll grab you, won't they?
Oh, totally. Totally they will. I remember thinking, like, oh, you know, like, go sit on the bench next to the monkeys. And I'd sit on the bench with my little 3-year-old at the time. And the monkey just looked straight at us and growled and started, like, crawling towards us. And I just bolted out of there.
I also think it's very adventurous when you go to a place like Rwanda. And I know for many years in England they have been putting out a lot of visit Rwanda. But what's been happening there the last couple of decades politically, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm not taking my kids there. You guys went there and you had a blast.
We had a blast. And I always say, especially with Rwanda, Rwanda by far has changed me more as a person than any other trip we've ever taken.
Wow.
I went in with 100% preconceived notions of this place is dangerous. All I knew about it was Hotel Rwanda and the genocide back in the 90s. And very quickly I realized how quite the opposite it was, how lovely the people were. They have a monthly service day, and they also have twice a month a fitness day where they encourage people to go out and be outdoors. Like, just incredible people. It was clean and safe, just completely contrary to what I thought, and that has been the biggest example to me to not judge a book by its cover. I mean, you have to be safe, clearly, right?
Yeah.
If you're going somewhere, you have to do your research and stuff, but that was just maybe my naive American point of view, realizing how far they've come in the last 30 years, and it's a beautiful, beautiful country. I would recommend it to anybody.
And then I got to ask you about the Galapagos Islands off of Ecuador, and it's one thing to be, you know, Captain Cook, but on the other hand, this is some of the most untouched wildlife on the face of the earth. There's not a lot of 5-star resorts there. How were the Galapagos Islands?
We really enjoyed the Galapagos Islands. I feel like it's straight out of a National Geographic where you're just there and the wildlife is so in your face. You know, most wildlife, you know, here in Hawaii, they're afraid of humans and they avoid you and you kind of give them their space. But in the Galapagos, there's no barriers and the sea lions will come straight up to you and the fishes are all jumbo size. Like, it was quite the experience. That I remember as soon as we got there, we had booby birds dive bombing into the ocean, and we had manta rays mating in the water. Like, it was just this nature at its finest.
And as we go around the world here, I mean, just a couple blocks from where I sit on Broadway, cable cars, you got a picture with your kids on the cable cars, and you guys actually lived here, mm-hmm. didn't you?
We did live in San Fran. My husband, with a tech startup, we lived there for a year and had a great time. We lived on Potrero Hill in San Francisco and had some great memories, but it was really fun to take our kids back there and show them their old, our old stomping grounds.
So what is your next spot, or is there a holy grail spot you haven't been to yet?
Well, like I said, we do have the Christmas markets coming this holidays, and then next on the list, I know my husband, a lot of our travels revolve around wildlife, and the orca whales is kind of next on the list. So we're doing our research, trying to find the very best place that's maybe not freezing cold to see the orcas in the wild.
All right, last question, and I'm not going to ask you to say it on the show, but was there ever a place that you went to and thought, oh, this place is a dump, we're not going to write about this place? Or did they all not disappoint?
I think every place has their good qualities. There are certain places, though, that I probably wouldn't go back to. There are certain places in the Caribbean that just weren't as, like, unique or as welcoming as others. But, you know, we had a great time at every stop.
All right, great stuff. Once again, bucket list family travel, share the world with your kids on 50 Adventures of a Lifetime from Jessica G. and the rest of the fam. Congratulations on an amazing book, and we look forward to your next one.
Thank you so much.